If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34, I've entitled our message, Hide and Seed. And I've broken our verses into five sections, the saved, the seeker, the success, the seed, and the summation as we move through here. Now, let me pray real quick. Father, just may your word come alive. May we be challenged. May you blow our minds, Lord, spiritually speaking, so that we just understand how amazing you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in Mark, we've seen that Jesus' family showed up. You know, we explained the fact that they don't believe in him yet. And then he made a distinction. He said, hey, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who follow the will of God. And we showed how that all works out. And the fact that sometimes because of scripture, families will be divided. And that's not our goal. Listen, it's best if you're united blood through blood relationship. But also when we are related spiritually, that's impressive. That's the most amazing type of family. But then Jesus began to speak in parables, and I told you the word in the Greek is parabolo, which means to take and lay something aside, something else. So he takes earthly concepts and lay them beside spiritual principles. And we saw the parable of the soil. Some people call it the parable of the sower, some the seed, some the hearts. Listen, we'll just call it parable of the soil, but the soil represents men's hearts. And we saw there were four types of soil. But if you actually could section those four types of soil into two types, the type of soil that produce and the type of soil that doesn't produce. Now, of those, there were three variations of soils that didn't produce anything. And you go, okay, got it. So only one type of soil was good soil, representing a good heart. So what's the difference between the soils or the hearts? The difference is this: hearing. Hearing. Not hearing with the ears, but hearing with our spirit. And then he went on to say this, that some that do hear, spiritually, that apply, they will bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, understand, in those days, a good harvest would have been an 8-fold harvest, 8-to-1. That was considered spectacular. So when you're talking 30, that's miraculous, 60, unbelievable, 100, you just pass out and faint, that kind of thing. But I want you to understand something. The harvest that Jesus is talking about is also twofold. Well, of course, there's the fruit of the Spirit, which we are familiar with. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. You know this. We mention it all the time, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But understand, that fruit of the Spirit in your life and my life, listen, God doesn't give it to us so we can show off. Look at how patient I am. That'll never happen. But it's not given for us to show off. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit that we display, it's in order to impact other lives and to expand the kingdom. Listen, when people see you displaying the fruit of the Spirit when you didn't have it before, when you become someone who is who used to be a ruffian and now you're gentle, and someone who's mean and abrasive and now you're kind and good, when people see that you are long-suffering, that you can take it and you don't try and dish it out, they go, wow, what is that? The fruit of the Spirit produces fruit in our life as we share with others. People go, well, you have something. Something happened to you. I see the difference. I see the change. And if God can do that for you, I want me some. And that's the idea. So now let's move on to our new section here, starting in verse 21 through 22, as we look at the saved here in our message, hide and seed. Verse 21. Also, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Now, of course, as we're going to see here, the lamp is the light of God. But I also want you to understand this. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this, "Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" Now, we are to be a light in the darkness, but we're not to be in communion with it. Or how about 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." Look, listen. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." That is good. That is good. So understand this. If we light a candle here and we turn off all the lights, if we put a basket over that, or we put it under a bed, or, well, first of all, you'd get a nasty fire. You wouldn't be able to sleep, that's for sure. Is it getting hot in here? Yeah, your bed's on fire. Okay. But understand this. Not only if we put a basket on a candle, guess what? It also extinguishes that candle. Brothers and sisters, we should not hide our salvation. Now, in the Bible, there's some references about, in Revelation, about if you do not do this, I'll come and remove your lampstand. It doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. It means you'll lose your effectiveness to share the gospel with others. And listen, do you not care about whether or not the people you love, whether they go to heaven or not? No, it just means that you lose your effectiveness. And we know from Scripture, we are to let our light shine so that they might see our good works and glorify God in heaven. In other words, as you and I allow the fruit of the Spirit to operate in our life, other people are going to want to give glory to God, and therefore we are bearing fruit. And that's a wonderful thing. Verse 22. "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to the light." Let me tell you, I didn't give them this verse, so I feel bad about this, but Numbers 32:23 says this, "But if you do not do so," if you do not do well, "then take note, you have sinned against the Lord." And then it says this, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Spooky. Listen, sometimes people think, well, you know, no one knows. You know, I'm doing this sin. I'm doing this thing. You know, who's going to know? It's just me. I'm not hurting anybody. Well, listen, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Maybe not today. Maybe not next week. But eventually it will. And on Facebook, I hate it. People go, "Hey, what goes around comes around. Watch out for karma." It's not karma, okay? It's God's faithfulness. It's the truth of God's word. Number 32:23 says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." How about this verse? This is, when I read this the first time, I was like, whoa, God. Jeremiah 13:26. Listen to what he says. In order to reveal your sin that you think is hidden, he says, "I will pull up your skirts over your face that your shame will be seen." That's God speaking. God's like, oh yeah, you want to sin? Fine, I'll pull your skirt over your face and everyone can see your sin. Wow. Wow. In other words, listen, if God is light, and he is, and we follow him, and we should, then his light will reveal what I try to hide in darkness. Not fun. But listen, not only that, we can't hide in the light, but we shouldn't be able to hide in the light. We should want to let our light shine. And by the way, any light that you and I have, it's just a reflection of God. I don't have any light in me. My righteousness is filthy rags. But if you see Randy, that I do something good for a change, way to go, Randy. It's glorifying God. It's all him. It's all him in my life. And all the bad stuff, that's all me. The bad stuff is Randy. Okay. Oh, he did that. What a jerk. Yep, that's me. Pray for me. Listen, we should not be playing hide and seek with God's word. Now, we should hide his word in our hearts so that we can then bear fruit. And by the way, remember in the parable of the sower of the seeds of the soil, what was the seed? The word. The word. We need to have the word planted in our hearts so that we can then produce much fruit. Let's look at the seeker in verse 23 through 25. If anyone has ears to hear, and I always say this, feel if you got ears. Anyone here don't have ears? And we all have ears. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. And then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Oh. Why would he say that? I don't know. You've been on TV lately? Listen to some of the... I don't challenge you. Don't go try and listen to the top 40. That stuff's garbage. Such filth. They have to beep out every other word on the radio. It's like, what is that? Or they don't play them, but it's number one. How does it get to be number one if it can't be played because it's so filthy? But he says, take heed to what you hear. Hear me in this. What is the distinguishing mark for a believer? It's that we hear. Not hear with our ears, but hear with our spirit, hear with our heart. So he says here, take heed what you hear. Do you hear the Spirit of God? I was having a conversation with someone just the other day and was like, well, my spouse says that they don't hear from the Lord. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, are they a new believer? No. Seasoned believer, been claiming to be a believer for years? Yes. There's a problem. Yeah, when you first get saved, first few seven years, different for everybody. I didn't hear from the Lord clearly, but slowly but surely, I trained my heart as I stayed in the Word where I began to go, oh, was that the Lord? Oh. We need to be careful that we hear the Lord. More importantly, when we hear him, we need to respond. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we can hear the word all day long and ignore it even longer. We do. So many people can go, oh, yeah, I listen to so-and-so and so-and-so. I put the radio on and I'm doing work and all day long I hear the word. Yeah, you can hear it all day long and still ignore it. That's why, you know, James says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So here he says, hey, those people who hear, look at what he says. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. What he is saying there is when you take in God's word, the seed, and you apply it to your life, that's going to be given back to you. More will be trusted with you. The more obedient you are, the more God gives you. The less obedient you are, the less the Lord gives you. Now, listen, there are pastors who try to turn this into, well, you know, you tithe and you... No, listen, I'm talking your time, your treasure, your talents, your faithfulness, your prayer, your servitude, your Bible time, your forgiveness, all of those things. As I show mercy... mercy is given. The more mercy I show, the more mercy God gives me. Listen, we all blow it. He isn't speaking about finances. He's speaking about spread. Excuse me. He's speaking about the word. He's speaking about spreading the word. He's speaking about salvation through the word. That's what's most important. Jesus just told us to take heed. To listen to teachers of the word. Right doctrine, proper teaching will always be more fruitful. Now, understand, I am not talking about the size of a church. I'm talking about the health of a church. I'm not talking about how you do this or you do that. I'm talking about how healthy is your walk. That's what is the reward. Now, notice what he says in verse 25. For whoever has what? Has what? Whoever has the ear to hear spiritually and apply biblically and let the word of God change you and you, who, here you go, whoever has actual faith. Listen, you and I can say all day long, I have faith. Yeah, but you got to, you don't have to, but I'll look at you and tell by your life. How you live your life will show your faith. You know, the Bible says that you will know a tree by its fruit. A good tree will bear what? Good fruit. A bad tree will bear what? Bad fruit. So we have to, now, and by the way, real quick, we shouldn't try to bear fruit in order to impress other people. In fact, you're going to see here, when you're really walking and listening to the Spirit, you don't have to try. It's au natural. Verse 25, whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Yikeronis. I don't have much. I definitely don't want to lose what I got. So I have to take heed that what I got, I use it and cultivate it for God's good pleasure. Now, when it really comes down to it, here you go. I say this all the time. I sound like a broken record, but I don't care, right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, that he will reap. Listen, we're all sowing. I'm not sowing. Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. You're either sowing to good or you're sowing to evil. That's a fact, Jack and Jackie. I have to cover men and women, sorry. I didn't have anyone in mind. Listen, if you're sowing to sin, you will reap destruction. Sorry, not my idea. That's God's idea. Just like if you jump off a building, you will reap gravity, not fun. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. The sad part is too many don't want to hear the truth. We talked about that at our home fellowship, Pioneer. Holy, the house was packed last night at Pioneer. I hadn't gone before. I went, they asked me to teach, and it was Butch's birthday. Is Butch here? Happy birthday, bro, again. Today you look older. Yesterday you didn't. Because we asked him, we said, hey, you feel any older? He goes, no. I said, tomorrow. And here it is. Hey, it's working. Just me. He's a great guy. Listen, we talked about that. Do you realize that most people don't want to know what the problem is? There's a video. I showed it, I guess, a year ago or 2 years ago, something like that. But it's a great depiction of how people don't want to know the truth. But isn't that how we are? Oh, pastor, I got this problem. Well, you know, you got this sin in your... No! Don't judge me, pastor. Okay. I think the word of God is judging you. I'm just trying to help you. Sometimes we walk around with the nail in our head when we should realize that Jesus already took the nails. We give it over to him and trust him. Let's look at the success in verse 26 through 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and raise up by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Basically, what he's saying here is if the seed is planted in the right soil, it will produce, and the farmer didn't have to force. The farmer doesn't sit there and go, come on, ground, come on, seed, and sit there, you can do it, I know you can. He doesn't have to coach the seed or the ground. When you and I give out the gospel, listen, I don't have to sit there and go, oh, come on, please believe it. Will you please believe it? Come on. I don't have to do that. I just give you the word. If you take it, good. If you don't, that's too bad. I'm sorry. I wish you did. But it's not. I'm going to go to sleep tonight. I'm going to sleep tonight. And whether or not this message from the Lord, from his word, sinks into your heart, that's up to you and God, whether you have spiritual ears or not. Isaiah 55, 1 says this, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Listen, God, when he sends out the word, when he puts it in your heart, you're to give it out and you're not to worry about whether or not it's producing. You just produce. And if it falls, if you share the word with enough people, someone's going to respond. It's going to happen. I don't get disappointed if I share the gospel with someone and they receive it. I don't get disappointed, and if they receive it, I'm glad, but I give all the glory to God, because here's the thing, it's not up to me to save you or not save you. It's only up to you and I to get the word out, to be sowers of the seed. Now, agriculturally, you know what seeds need. First, they need to germinate in soil. That's where the seed dies and it sprouts up, but then it needs photosynthesis. That's when it sprouts up and it receives the light. Now, spiritually speaking, here's what we need. We need the seed, which is the word. We need the soil, which is the heart and the soul of us. We need the water, which is the word of God. And we need the light, which is also the word of God. Here's the problem. Some of us take the word of God, but we don't water it. Some of us hear the word of God, but we don't plant it in good soil, in a good heart. Some of us have hard hearts. Some of us are cold to the word. And then beside watering it, you know, my wife will tell you, you know, I can't help it, but she'll tell you, put too much water. It needs light too. It needs a balance of water and light. You and I need to be in the word. And we need to be in worship. We need to be in prayer. We need a balance. Too much of one thing and not enough of the other. It needs a balance. Deuteronomy 32:2 says this, let my teaching drop as rain. My speech distills as dew, as the droplets on fresh grass, as the shower on the herb. Or how about Psalm 119, 105? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So you got soil, you got water, you got photosynthesis. How about Proverbs 6:23? For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. Oh, here you go. And reproof for discipline are a way of life. You know, we have these trees out here, and they're great. But the problem is they don't. Their roots don't go super deep, unfortunately. They're kind of on the surface because it's desert. But what happens is, so we try and cut the trees, cut the branches, but man, they sprout up little buds all over the place. Like crazy, but we have to cut. Every time we cut, it seems like it grows back quicker. Well, that's the same thing in our lives. When we cut the sin out of our lives, when we allow God to convict our hearts and take that sin, we grow spiritually faster. You should have all these little buds coming out because you're dealing with the sin. That's awesome. That's a good thing. Verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself. This right here where it says by itself, the word is automatos. We get automatic. You don't have to coach it. And he says, first the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. You know what that means? You know what that means? Brothers and sisters, hear me in this. Signs of spiritual maturity can't be hidden. When you are spiritually mature, it's like, yeah, as you grow, you know, first you sprout up, you're like, hey, I'm a blade. Ooh. And you get a little head, ooh, I get some knowledge. Then you have the grain. Now you're bearing fruit. Listen, spiritual maturity can't be hidden. Oh, here you go. But the signs of immaturity can't be hidden either. You got, you know, all these stalks, and then there's one stalk that has no grain. It's just a weed. So I want to be a weed in God's house. We need to be ripe and ready. Look at verse 29. Then when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And you go, what? Okay, wait. The vine ripens, and what do you want to do? You want to harvest it for the usefulness of it. Did you know this? For an unbeliever, there's that old saying, right? Life and death. Right? That would mean the life and death of me. For an unbeliever, that's a true statement. But for the believers, it's death and life. It's the opposite. Why? Because Christ's death, we have life. When we get baptized, we're buried. We're dead in Christ, dead to our sins and alive in Christ. Once you die to yourself, you have eternal life. So for the world, they have life and then death. But for a believer, we have death and then life. And I love that. That's the same for a seed. You know, seed gets planted, it dies in order to produce life. In John 12, 35, excuse me, 23 through 25, it says this, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In other words, fully ready, fully ripened, it's time. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In other words, not only did Jesus die to produce our salvation, but then he asked us to die so that we can reproduce. As I die to Randy, I become more like Christ. I can now lead others to him. And that's the same for you and I. That's the goal that God has for our life. And let me tell you a story. When I first got saved, now I'm a music fanatic. I mean, I say fanatic, he likes me. No, I'm a fanatic. I like music, just about anything you mention, I probably heard it already. Well, when I first got saved, there was this program at midnight on television in Houston, and I forget what it was called, but it'd come on at midnight, and they would play Christian music videos, but not just, you know, like, it was the heavy rocks. I loved that. It was that. That was the only place I could find out all the cool bands, like the band we had, Seventh Day Slumber. They were on there. So I would watch this, but then one band, one night, made me so mad. Because during their song, it was like, and they was so hard to understand, they put subtitles. It's like, praise the Lord, awesome. It was really cool. But one of the subtitles said, I'm not a man, I'm a worm. And they were showing pictures of Christ. I called the TV station. And they go, you know, it's a Christian station. Do you need prayer? I go, oh, I need prayer. I was mad. I said, I just saw a video where in the video they called Jesus a worm. And the person on the phone said, what? I go, yeah, you don't watch the videos you play? She goes, it was a gal. She goes, no, I don't watch it, but I'm sure whoever picked the videos. I said, go back and watch. It called Jesus a worm. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. We'll look into it. I said, you better. And then one day, I'm reading Psalm 22, verse 3 through 6. But you are holy, enthroned in praise of Israel. Our fathers trust in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. Then they cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Verse 6. But I am a worm, not a man. A reproach of men, despised by the people. And if you read the whole psalm, you go, that's Jesus. And I go, I guess I should call them back. I'm sorry. No. I thought to myself, I'm a new person. I did. I thought, well, I'm a new believer. That person who was answering the phone should have known their Bible better than that. Besides that, they probably had a lot of people answering the phone. I don't know why. I was an immature Christian. But let me tell you this. This is where, if you haven't been here very long, I'm about to blow your mind. The word for I'm a worm, not a man, the word for worm is tola. Now, there's another word in Hebrew for worm, and it's called ramah. Ramah is a maggot. This is not the word used here for Jesus. It's tola. It's a very specific worm. It's called the tola worm or the crimson worm. Now, this worm, what it does, and this is very interesting, you're going to see it goes a lot deeper than you think. It will crawl up on a tree all by itself. It's not forced. And it does this knowing that it's going to die. It does this out of necessity. Why? In order to birth its offspring. What it will do is it will lodge itself onto the tree securely, cannot be removed, in order to give birth. But during the birth, it's very interesting. This tola worm, it's a crimson worm, it'll attach itself and kind of cocoon with its little babies underneath its tummy, and it will secrete a crimson dye. It is so much crimson dye that even after it's removed, the tree is stained permanently, unless you cut a deep slot. That's how strong this dye is. In fact, it secretes the dye for 3 days. Can't be scraped without destroying the whole thing. In fact, this dye that it secretes, priests use it. In fact, they use it in Israel to create the priest's robe and the tapestry inside the tabernacle to make their crimson cloth. Now, for 3 days, as this worm is sitting there secreting this crimson dye, the babies are literally feeding off its mother and drinking the red dye for sustenance. Kind of like the way Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, real quick, if you don't know this, Saturday, September 15th, 2022, at 5 p.m., 5 perfect, unblemished red heifers arrived in Israel from none other than Texas. The rabbis inspected these cattle with a, what do you call that? Magnifying glass. Yeah, I was going to say telescope, but no. Magnifying glass to prove that it was truly. And then if you watch the video, just look it up on YouTube, they're singing praises unto God. You go, why? They need the red heifer in order to do the sacrifices in the temple. Well, Pastor Randy, they don't have the temple yet. Remember, the Antichrist is supposed to help them build the temple. Oh gosh, people, I need to do another update because there's so much going on. I'm like freaking out here. Go listen to Prince Charles' speech about some mysterious person that has lots of money and lots of power, and he never names the guy's name. Very interesting. Go look at the Pope and how he just had a conference with most of the world religions, and they're all giving honor to him. And he's saying, we got to stop dividing over doctrine, and we need to unite in peace. The one world religion. Oh, gosh, it's exciting. Anyways, okay, let me focus back here. All right. No. So not only do they have the red heifer, but get this, the priest, the Israelites made the new priest robes, and guess what they used to make the dye? They used a tola worm, the crimson worm. It's called Coccus ilicus. That's the actual name. Hold on to that name. We're going to need it later. Now, so for 3 days, it's secreting this red dye. For 3 days, crimson dye. For 3 days, the babies are living off the mother. But on the fourth day, get this, the worm will take its head and tuck it into its body, and into its tail. And it looks like a heart. and it becomes white. It dries, and the babies are released at that time as it becomes a flaky white substance. And they burst out, releasing the newborn stained. All of the newborn stained permanently with the crimson dye. Psalm 22:14. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. That white substance, when the female turns into a white heart, it's waxy. They even use it for some purposes, like a wax. In Numbers 19, verse 6, the priest shall take cedar wood, hyssop, scarlet. The word there is tolaf. And cast them in the midst of the fire, burning the heifer, red heifer. See, tolaf means crimson or scarlet. How about this? Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were like scarlet, tolaf, they shall be white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Now, remember Rahab, the prostitute? When Joshua came to Jericho, and she said, hey, have mercy on me and my family. She hung a scarlet cord out the window that would save her family from judgment. No doubt that cord was made scarlet by the tolaf worm, the dye. Even back then, Jesus was covering even the prostitute who would then become a part of his genealogy. Remember on the cross, it gets better. On Matthew 27:46, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Do you realize that's not the first place it appears? And by the way, some commentators, some people, skeptics will say, oh, right there. See, Jesus couldn't be God because right there he lost his faith. That's not he was actually fulfilling his faith. He was fulfilling his place. Psalm 22, verse 1 through 6. Remember I read Psalm 22 earlier? Well, we're gonna start at verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, and you do not hear me, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm, tolaf, not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. That was written 1,000 years before Jesus went to the cross. Now, remember I told you the Latin word, cocas alicus, is the word for tolaf in the Latin. You know what that means in English? Cocas alicus. It is finished. It's not a coincidence. When Jesus Christ said he was a tolaf, he was saying, look to the worm and you'll understand why I said, eat my body and drink my blood, because I'm giving new life to you. You're being born again through my sacrifice on the cross. And the robes wore the blood of this little worm. And a prostitute was over past judgment because of the blood of a little worm that was a sign or a symbol of Jesus Christ. Listen, this is not something that we should hide from, but we should take his word and hide it in our heart. Hide that seed of truth in your heart. Verse 30 and 32. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? And he says this, it is like a mustard seed. When it is sown in the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Now you go, wait, pastor. There are smaller seeds. Yeah, but understand, if you go and look back at Jewish literature of that time, look at even some non-Jewish literature, they would often use, because it was one of the most common seeds of the area, and it was very small for the area, they would use that as a sign of being something very small. So don't let the wording, the translation of the English, basically we say it's a very, very small seed, but it grows into a substantial bush. What does it grow into? You're going to need that to understand the rest of this. But I want you to understand this. That's how God works. He likes to use insignificant things. Israel is one of the smallest nations in the world. Jesus was the humblest man. The apostles and us, remember the Bible says, not many wise, the weak things, the base things, that's us. I like what David Guzik says here. He says this, just as a field's crops may be unnoticed when first planted, but cannot be missed when matured, so it is when the kingdom of God, so it is with the kingdom of God. It has small beginnings, and its roots may be small, but when God develops the work, it cannot be missed. When God is working in a brother or sister, when God is working in a church or a movement, it can't be missed. It's obvious that God is working. God doesn't hide the seed when it grows. He says, it's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs. Watch this. And shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, yes, the mustard seed is small seed, and it becomes a substantial little bush. But it doesn't have large branches. So why is he saying that it has large branches? Now, one other thing you have to notice here, I hope you did, the birds. Earlier in the parable, remember he said this in verse 4, and it happened as he sowed, some fell by the waysides, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Devour what? The word of God. The birds here in this parable, in this section, the birds represent something evil. So here's what this means. And shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. This speaks of a church that is out of control. A church that doesn't have structure. A church that starts off good, but slowly but surely deviates from its natural position, doesn't stay in the word, goes beyond what the word naturally would produce. And then the demons, the evil, feels comfortable nesting there. See, if you don't understand that, it could seem, what does that mean? Well, it's very simple. And we see that all the time. We see churches that go awry. We see pastors that go awry. We see people that go awry. We even see mutations of what is a good gospel to false gospels under the name of Christianity, and that's very dangerous. That's when the mustard seed no longer is functioning as the way it's supposed to, and now it's got branches, and you go, what kind of plant is that? And sometimes I look and I go, what kind of church is that? And I'm sure you have too. But we have to be careful. Because HBC, Pastor Randy, you and I can start off good and then go awry if we don't stay in God's word and let it be the parameters of our growth and our pruning. So we don't end up having a branch way out here. What is that? It's my sin. No, cut that out. Let's look at the summation in verse, I've got to go fast. Summation in verse 33 through 34. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, look, when they were what? When they were what? Alone. Thank you. He explained all things to his disciples. You know what that tells me? You ever have those times when you're just like, I don't know what to do? Lord, I don't know the answer to this. Or maybe it's just simple. You're reading the Word of God and you're like, Lord, I don't understand. Then it's up to you and I to get alone with Him. You see, remember Jesus spoke in parables and He said it was so that some people wouldn't understand. But the disciples, they stayed with Jesus. And because they stayed with Jesus, those who stayed with Jesus came to understand what He was talking about. You see, like when I first got saved, I'm calling radio stations because I didn't know. But as I stayed with Jesus, guess what? I wouldn't call them now. See, when we are His, and I pray you are, He will be patient to teach us. The Holy Spirit will take extra time to help us understand His truths. Why? Pastor Randy, yeah? Why would the Holy Spirit do that? So that you and I would bear fruit. So we would be able to lead others to Christ. So we would not be ashamed of the gospel. That we wouldn't take the seed of God's word and hide it. Hide it in your heart so it can help you grow, but don't hide it in under a basket so no one will know. I didn't know it would rhyme, but you can enjoy that one. Put it on a t-shirt. No, seriously. I hope that you have come to understand that Jesus loved you so much on His own will, He went to the cross. And when He says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, it's to be a part of Him. And it's a part of when we are communion. It's for the believer. It's those who have been born again. Those who understand that He gave His all so that we could have life. Now, might I warn you, if you want to read ahead, prepare yourself for this Sunday. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your incredible mercy and grace. How You offered Yourself completely. And Lord, how You want to plant Your seed, the seed of the Word, in our hearts so that we might grow and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. And Lord, I just pray tonight that each one of us would take this call, that we would have spiritual ears to hear. And not be ashamed, for You are not ashamed of us. Though we are weak, You are strong. And so, Lord, help us to walk in boldness and newness of life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, you want to accept Christ, or maybe you need to refocus, we have some deacons up front that would love to pray with you. God bless you.